I don't know about y'all, but y'all thought I was pumped up. All righty. It is good to be back with you. Alice, as you was singing that song, I let my mind wander a little bit, and I was thinking recently, Judy's dad told me that he had got a speeding ticket over on Windsor Avenue. And he was talking about how the cop got up beside him and, you know, was talking. And I started thinking about how cops do. Have you ever seen them on cop shows? How they walk up, and when they're going to arrest somebody, they go through what's called the Miranda rights. Anybody ever heard those rights? Come on now. All righty. I watch it on show. Let me just tell you now. I watch it on TV. And you know what they say, right? They come out, and the first thing they say is, you have the right to remain silent. Well, I'm here to say that if you've been blood-bought, born again, and redeemed by the land of God, you do not have the right to remain silent. My Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, I say so tonight. All righty, there you go. Now that you're ready, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Once again, I'm humbled by the opportunity to be here. You know, I know that you guys are a good church, and the Lord is going to bless you mightily, and I pray that you are ready for revival this week. We need a revival in this nation. We need a revival in our families and in our churches and in our homes and in the communities. And tonight, I'm going to talk about a message that the Lord has put up on my heart the last couple of weeks as I've been studying and praying. The title of the message is called When the End Comes. When the End Comes. Many of you will remember a day in the 1960s when we heard that John F. Kennedy was shot. And the president's body was eventually taken to a cemetery and laid in the grave. And they said that they was going to put an eternal flame that would burn forever above his tombstone. Did you know that that flame has gone out many times over the years, due to weather, due to leaky gas lines, due to maintenance in the area? I remember, well, I don't remember it. I'm not that old. Some of you may remember when Marilyn Monroe passed away. Her husband said on national news, I will take flowers to her tomb every day for the rest of my life. Soon, he stopped bringing them. Greatest things and best laid intentions all come to an end. The best movie you've ever watched has come to an end. The best meal that you've ever eaten, and today ranks up on the top 10 of those best meals. But unfortunately, it came to an end. Your vacation will come to an end. Holidays come to an end. Seasons, the summer, the drought, the rain, it all comes to an end. And for those of you that are wondering, yes, even this sermon will come to an end. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm just going to read one verse as we begin our study on when the end comes. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this homecoming day here at Liberty Baptist Church. And we pray that as we look around and survey the people that have journeyed out in this weather tonight to come into the house of the Lord, we see many faces that some may have not have been here for years upon years, but they've journeyed home because somewhere in their heart, somewhere along the way, this became their church home. And they were forever changed and forever touched by the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God here at Liberty Baptist Church. Father, today is homecoming, and we pray that there may be someone in our midst today that even through this morning when the service was preached and through the 11 o'clock service and through the fellowship of the meal, when the gospel was shared, that it landed upon the fertile hearts and the fertile minds of those that you have anointed to be in that service, and they may come home to you like the prodigal son and like the wayward child and like the lost sheep, back into the fold and back into the arms of a loving God who says, call upon me and you shall be saved. Father, today is a day like no other. For today is the day that you've ordained everyone to be in this place at this point, at this particular time in history, that will be like no other. There will never be another moment where we will all be in the same place as it is today. Let your name be exalted. And as we go into your word, I pray that your word would go into us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Alrighty, so the title of the message is called When the End Comes. There is always an end to something. And as I read this passage in 1 Peter, there are several things that the Lord is trying to teach us when he talks about the end. And we're going to go through them rather quickly because I realize the Awana kids will be in shortly and I want to be good stewards of the Lord's time. So number one, let's just dive right in because that's how I was taught to swim. Amen. How many of you was just thrown into the pool one day and said, swim? Right? All right. That's how I was taught. So let's just dive right in. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Because number one, the opportunity to serve will soon come to an end. The opportunity to serve will come to an end. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Skip on down to verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, it's interesting that when I travel over through Knoxville and down through Anderson County and Union County and Lenoir City, I come across many churches and they are starving for the gospel. Their preachers will get up and they're the old timey, old hair, white-haired guy that will ha ha, ha ha, they'll hack and they'll stomp the feet, but there's no gospel. They'll preach doctrine, they'll preach salvation, but there's no gospel. At the end of services, they'll say good day and God bless. And you go on about your merry way. They don't give the gospel. There is coming a day when the opportunity to serve the Lord will come to an end. And I realize here at Liberty Baptist Church, you guys are blessed to have a pastor who stands firm upon the foundations of the Word of God, who will Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, stand and from his heart plead to you to get involved in ministry work. Get involved in missions. Get involved in Vacation Bible School. To get involved in some form of activity. Because you see, if the only thing we were supposed to do is to get saved and then Jesus would call us home, oh, there must be more because I should be gone. There has to be more to this life. There has to be more to being a Christian than just sitting in the pew and becoming a spectator. Do you know that America has made spectatorism a professional sport? Did you know that? How many of you get on the internet and watch live streaming reality shows? You watch TV shows. You watch webcams of you're going to the beach and you want to look at the weather. So you look at the latest webcam and you watch the live streaming of that beach and you're just sitting there just watching the ocean, the waves just come in, and you catch yourself just sitting there watching. And your head starts nodding because you're watching the waves. You become a spectator to life. And God says in the Bible that being a spectator is not being a Christian. When you are saved, something unique happens to you. There is a transformation. There is a new birth. There is a redemption. There is a process that takes place that the very minute that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you are justified in the eyes of the Lord. There is this new birth that happens in the twinkling of an eye, and you are no longer a sinner. You are saved by the grace of God. Now, will we all continue to sin? Yes. Will we all continue to go astray? Yes. Every one of us will. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the Bible makes it perfectly clear that if we do not choose to serve the Lord in this life, that there will soon come an end to an opportunity to serve. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally believe, and you know, Ed's made jokes about it, and Stan's talked about it, and Roger's talked about it, and somebody asked me a minute ago how many cups of coffee I've had since this afternoon, and they call it rocket fuel because I go so fast. But you have to understand my heart. You have to understand where I come from. I look back at what I used to be. I look back at who I was. I look back upon my life when I dishonored God. I look back upon my life as a child and as a young teenage boy when I cursed at will. When I looked at women as if they were just a piece of substance. I look back upon my life of who I was and where I was headed. And then I have that moment, that day that I knelt at an altar, that day that I said, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I'm sorry for the things that I've said. Oh God, I'm sorry. Save me. I wanted him to do for me that which I could not do for myself. And since that day, I look back and every day I wake up and say, what can I do for you? Because of what you did for me, you took upon himself, he took upon himself the pain, the stripes, the suffering, the brutality of the cross for my sins. It was my lying that put him upon the cross. It was my sins that put him upon the cross. The day that he was walking through the streets of Galilee and walking through Jerusalem, and the day that he was walking up the hill of Golgotha, beaten and bloodied, barely recognized. The day that they put a blindfold on him, walked up and slapped him in the face and say, if you're a prophet, tell me who did that. The day they spit upon him, the day they whipped him with the cat of nine tails, the lashes and the blood. And he said, I did that for you. I did that even while you were a yet sinner, I died for you. While you didn't know who I was, you didn't give a rip about me, you were on my mind and you were on my heart. And when I look at the cross and I look at the brutality and the sacrifice of my Lord and Savior, how can I not ask myself, what can I do for you because of what you done for me? There will be a day when the opportunity to serve will come to an end. You know, it's interesting when you read the Bible, many passages, go ye therefore, right? You shall be witnesses of me. Jesus went about in the cities healing. He comes seeking. Have you ever noticed how many of those words are action verbs? Everything he says for us to do involves an action. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest. Remember over in the book of John chapter 4 when he's talking to the woman at the well and he's talking about her immorality and her adultery. Where are the disciples? Where are the chosen ones? Where are the ones that he said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men? Well, they're in the town. They're getting food. And they come back in John chapter 4, around verse 35 and 36, and they said, here, master, eat. He says, I've had meat that you do not understand. I don't need to eat. And they said, well, who gave him food? And they're all talking amongst themselves. And he talks about the harvest. And he says, do not say that there are yet 4 months to harvest, because the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. This is the disciples. This is the one that sold out to him. These are the men who left their families, left their jobs, left their houses, left everything to follow him. And in John chapter 4, he has to rebuke them and let them know there is still work to be done. Today, my friends, it doesn't take long to look out into the harvest fields, to know that there are many people that still need to hear the gospel. There are many people that need to hear the good news of a risen Lord and Savior. So there will be a day when the opportunity to serve will come to an end. But look what he says in verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Number two, the opportunity to share the gospel will come to an end. Now, when I talk about sharing the gospel, I have to back up for a second because my energy gets the best of me. My anticipation gets the best of me. And I think in the modern day Baptist churches, we have done many people a disservice. And if you are here tonight and you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want to apologize to you. Because we just assume you understand some things. Here in a few moments, at the end of this message, you're going to be giving an opportunity, we call it an invitation, you're going to be given an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to be given an opportunity to come to an altar where loving men and women will take you, open God's word, and show you how to be saved. And when you talk about being saved, when you talk about the gospel, we have muddied the waters. It's as if everybody is talking some foreign language. Have you ever tried to talk to an auto mechanic? I mean, really? Well, old buddy, I think you throw out bearings bad. Where'd I throw it out at? What are you talking about? I mean, what's he saying? Go to the hospital. Well, we're going to do an EEG on an EKG and an ICD-910 and an MICKY-MOU. What are you talking about? And we in churches have done the exact same thing. Today, all across this nation, men with great seminary training and theological degrees will open the Word of God. They'll pull up their pants and say, "My dear friend, if you come today and you believe in the voluntary, vicarious death of Jesus Christ for the propitiation of your sins, his propitiation will cover the depravity of your nature, of your sinful nature." And you're sitting there saying, "What's he talking about?" So I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to give you the gospel in what I call James Marion terms. You ready? The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, A-L-L. That word sin literally means miss the mark. It means that Jesus Christ set the standard of what it takes to go to heaven, and we have all missed the mark. So I'm going to prove a point. We're going to have a little contest. Y'all ready for a contest? Y'all up for a game? All righty. So here's what we're going to do. Here's the contest. We're going to see who can get right here, take a run and go, and jump and touch that projector before you land on the ground. I'm going to go first. Y'all ready? Stan's leaning back like, "Oh, don't, I ain't going to make it too far." Mark, stand up. Now, Mark here, who do you think's going to get further? Me or Mark? Mark, I've probably got about 20 pounds on you, so Mark might make it back here to Phil. Phil's sitting back here saying, "Oh, no, Mark, where's Chandler? Chandler, young boy Chandler, young strapping young man, stand up, Chandler." Now, Chandler might make it all the way back to Eddie. He's going to make it about the third or fourth row because he's a fine young man. He's got some energy in him. Did you know that we could call Carl Lewis the world record holder and get him up on his stage and he could not run and jump and touch that projector? We would all miss the mark. See, it's not an issue of who can go the furthest. It's not an issue of whether I can make it to the first row, the second row, the third row. Some of you may all the way make it to the back row, but we will all miss the mark. It's not about whether my sin is worse than your sin or your sin is worse than the next person's sin. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so Jesus Christ said, because of that, you need to be saved. Every person within the sound of my voice needs to have the gospel presented to them. They need to repent of their sins. They need to ask Jesus Christ into their heart because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. The opportunity to share the gospel will soon come to an end. And Knoxville, at Clear Springs Baptist Church, when Judy and I first got there, there was a guy named Aaron. He's an Elvis impersonator. Yeah. I mean, do they still exist? I mean, apparently they do. Some of you came to the marriage retreat, you met Aaron. Okay. Aaron's a unique guy. His wife came up to me one day and she said, "James, Aaron just loves to hear you preach in 8:30 service. He's not saved." I said, "What? I mean, not Aaron. He sings in the choir. He's not saved?" "No." "Would you talk to him?" "Well, yeah." So we got together. We sat on the front pew one day, and I said to Aaron, "Are you the special music for today?" He said, "Yep." I said, good. I'm looking forward to hearing it." He said, "You know, James, I've been listening to you." I said, "Well, that's good." He said, "How about we get together and talk one day?" I said, "Let's do it. Let's do it."
At our church, the way it works is pastor stands up on the stage and all four associate pastors, we stand at the altar ready to receive people when they come forward. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing over here in the corner, and when somebody's coming down the aisle and we can't see, Jerry will come over and say, "Hey, there's somebody coming," you know, to get your attention. And I was standing over here, and he said, "James, he's coming." Now, I started looking up, like, who, the Lord? I mean, who's coming? He said, "It's Aaron." He made his way all the way to about 5 feet in front of me. He stood there and put his hands in his pocket and said, I didn't back. I mean, what do you want, you know? You want a high five? What's going on? And he said, he shook his head, "Yeah." And then it clicked. I know what he's here for. So I walked up to him, put my hand on his shoulders, and I said, "Aaron, is today the day?" He said, "Yeah, today's the day." I got to pray with him and share the gospel with him, and this man's life was forever changed. I don't do this for deacons' meetings. I don't do this for budget committees. I don't do this for pats on the back. I do this for Aaron. I do this for the day that someone says, "Today is my day. Today is the day." And if I don't do it now, when will I ever share the gospel? There is coming a day when sharing the gospel will come to an end. Thirdly, number three, and I'll let you go, the opportunity to be saved will come to an end. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 18. This is a sobering passage. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" We as Christians, we know the answer to that. Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? That is before God Almighty. That is to give an account for every idle word, every thought, every deed, every action. The intent of every heart will be accounted for. And on that day, there's not a "how good was your suit" question. On that day, there's not a "how beautiful was your voice." On that day, there will be one question: are you in the book of life? Has there been that day when Jesus took the quill out of his pocket, dipped it into the Lamb's blood that was shed upon Calvary, opened the page, and said, "James, Marion"? If he opened it today and says, "What's your name?" "Mark." "There it is, Mark. Your name's there." "What's your name?" "Phil." Phil. "I remember Phil." "Oh, there it is." "What's your name?" "I'm sorry. It's not there. Depart from me. I never knew you." There will not be another second chance. You will not have an opportunity to plead your case. Your days of having a defense attorney go boldly to the throne of God and say, "That one is my child. That one is one of mine. What the Lord has put up in my hand, no man shall pluck from me." And on that day, if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will not make it. Remember, we've all missed the mark. None of us can come up here and jump and touch that projector. And if we can't do that, how can we do the greatest of things, and that is cross that great gulf that God said is fixed betwixt me and you. There is something that I can't do for myself. It takes a greater power, and his name is Jesus. And today, all across this nation, Just As I Am was sung for the last time. All across this nation, preachers will stand and with compassion in their voice, earnestly plead for you to accept the free gift. Choir directors will sing softly and tenderly, and the voices will fade, and it would be the last time they ever had that chance. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We don't know when we're going. Like I said this morning, I went onto a website today called deathclock.com. You type in your age, your height, your weight. You put in a couple of index figures. Click a button. You wait a couple seconds, and up comes a black screen with the projected date that you will die. I found out this morning that I have just over 800 million seconds left. The problem is that's the average. While nobody knows when my time really will come, that is just the average. And so as Mark comes and the musicians come, I plead with you. I lay my heart on this altar. And I know your pastor breaks in tears at the thought of you leaving this service on your way to an eternal separation from a holy God. I'll close with this last story. In Vacation Bible School, there was a young man who came and sat in the third row. His name is Michael. Him and his wife and Justin, Katie's his wife and Justin, his cousin, sat in the third row, and they watched intently all week, just like this. And we talked in Vacation Bible School about all the different religions and things, and he was just so zeroed in on every word I said. The last night of Vacation Bible School came, and Pastor Jerry said, "Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. If you're here and you know that you're not saved, raise your hand." Up went Michael. It was his teacher. I had the opportunity all week to be more intent with the Holy Spirit and give him the gospel in simplicity, in such clarity, in such boldness that he would get saved. A friend of mine walked over. She plays the organ for the church. And she said, "You know, he's been talking about you all week." I said, "Good." She said, "You know, he's not saved." I said, "I know." She's crying. I'm crying. I'm looking at him. He's nodding his head. I don't know, what is it with guys? I mean, we just nod our head, you know. And he's back there and he's nodding his head. And she said, "Go get him." What? You don't do that, do you, Stan? You don't go back and take them by the hand and bring them. I mean, if they don't come on their own, right? You don't do that. I did it. I went all the way back. Halfway back, he knew I was coming for him. And the whole pew just like parted like the Red Sea. And he's standing there like, and stretched out his hand. And we both went to the altar. He got saved. His wife got saved. His cousin got saved. His kids have gotten saved, all because he had one more chance. One more chance. I don't know what the future holds for you. I don't know what it holds for me. But I know who holds my future. I know where I will be when it's all said and done, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, I pray that I've been faithful. I pray that I have blessed the name of the Lord. I pray that as the gospel has been given, I pray it's been in such simplistic form that even a child can understand, that we have all missed the mark. I don't know why out of all the days of the year I'm here. I don't know why out of all of the churches in the community you're here. But I do know that God knows why you're here. God knows what you need. And the Holy Spirit is now moving in every pew, touching every heart, touching every soul. And you may be sitting there and say, but I've been a member of this church for years. It's okay. You may be sitting there and say, what will my wife think? She'll love you. What will my kids think? What will my teacher think? They'll pray with you. They'll cry with you. They'll rejoice at the decision that you've made. Let today be the day of your salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, have your way in this time. Have your way in this invitation. Let the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus get glory and honor for all that is accomplished. And we'll worship you in spirit and in truth. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. If everybody please.